Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DFS D-Gen Nation, what is up? What has happened? We are on to Wild Card Weekend. And, you know, I think there's actually some pretty solid games out here. I mean, this I feel like this is the first time all year that we've had two games on a slate with over 50-point totals. So that should be fun with the Lions and Rams at a 51.5. And you have the Cowboys and Packers game at a 50.5-point total. The rest of the slate, though, yeah. Because you have the Bills and Steelers game with a 35.5-point total. That's exciting. And then the Bucks and Eagles games, a 43.5-point total. The Chiefs and Dolphins is 43.5. And then you have the Texans and Browns at a 44.5 total there on that slate. So today we're going to be focusing mainly on the Saturday to Monday slate. They have some pretty good contests there. Instead of just doing the Saturday only and the Sunday only slates, we'll just go through the entire slate here. I think pricing is fair for the most part this week. I think the right players are priced the right. You know, we still have, you know, like CeeDee Lamb priced at 9K. You could make an argument he should be priced up higher than that. Tyreek at 87, but other than that, I think it's pretty fair pricing. So, Maddie, what are you looking to do this week?
I am looking to stack Detroit and the Rams as much as possible. It's that game and then Dallas Green Bay. Those are the two games I have a ton of focus on. I like Houston Cleveland. I'll have some interest in some pieces there, but yeah, it's Detroit and the Rams for me for the most part. Obviously Dallas at home and Jordan Love has looked really good in the second half of the season. So I think Green Bay can score some points as well. But yeah, outside of that, I mean, Buffalo and Pittsburgh, I mean, there's some pieces to like from the Buffalo side, like James Cook's in a good spot, but, you know, Leonard Fournette started to mix in and get some, you know, like goal line carries. So that's a little concerning, and already with Josh Allen in there, stealing goal line work. And then you have the Chiefs game. That's like a negative 50, not really, but it's, I think the actual is like minus 30 wind chills, which is like extremely cold. Like that's like brutally cold. And I don't think the Dolphins have won a game a really long time with like under freezing temps. Or temps even under 40, I think is what I saw on somebody posted on Twitter or X. So yeah, that game is I think the total's been plummeting. And I mean, the Chiefs offense hasn't been great this year anyways. And I think the Dolphins on the road are just in Arrowhead. In that weather, I don't know. I'm not expecting a ton from that game. And then the Monday game, there's just a ton of injuries on throughout that entire game. That game looks gross as well. You know, Baker Mayfield pretty much limped through the entire game against Carolina and isn't even practicing. And you've got Jalen Hurts, who's got a dislocated finger issue and, you know, isn't even throwing the football right now in practice. And, you know, so it really is two games that can go nuclear, I think. And with the outside chance of Cleveland and Houston joining those two games as a third, you know, kind of shootout. And all three of those games are played in a dome. Houston's in a dome, Dallas is in a dome, and the Lions are in a dome. So I just really like those games. And it's not just because they're indoors. I just think that those games, you know, stack up the best from, you know, what teams are trying to do on offense versus what defenses allow So yeah, I really like Stafford this week. He's probably my favorite quarterback at 6,500 on the Saturday to Monday slate. His stack is pretty straightforward as well. You know, DeMarcus Robinson is really, really cheap. You can pick one of Puka or Kupp. And it's those three guys. Like Higbee sometimes gets involved, and then obviously Kyren has pass game usage as well. But this is a really, really tough spot for Kyren. And I know they'll use Kyren regardless of matchup, but really the path of least resistance is through the air to the receivers. So you know, Stafford to Robinson, and then one of Kupp or Puka is probably what my main stack would be, or will be. And then on the other side, you just play Amon-Ra on the other side of that. So it's a really easy game to stack up. It's probably going to be popular, but that's okay. You know, because when that game goes for 65 points, I don't think it really matters. You know, we stacked up, you know, Detroit and Minnesota was really chalky last week, and those teams started going back and forth with long touchdowns and, you know, big plays to Justin Jefferson. And, you know, it was, you know, it's just that the Lions have just such a bad pass defense, and Stafford has shredded everybody this year. From a yardage standpoint, at the beginning of the year, he just wasn't getting touchdowns, and now he's getting them. And this should be another spot where he continues to get those. So, yeah, I just really like Stafford. And if I wasn't playing Stafford, I'd probably play Dak. But Dak being 7,600 and Stafford at 65 with the 1,100 price difference, I just side to Stafford. But Dak would be my second choice. I think the Cowboys are going to score a lot of points. Green Bay's defense has been kind of shoddy over the last, you know, month and a half. And we know Dak at home is a beast. So, and we keep seeing, you know, and I know we'll probably talk about Tony Pollard, and we keep getting Tony Pollard in good rushing matchups, and he continues to just get, you know, 60 yards and a touchdown, and doesn't really like nuke. So, I mean, I guess the nuke could come where he scores, you know, two or three touchdowns and takes all the Dak points, especially with Green Bay being a susceptible run D. But I don't know. I feel like we've talked about Tony Pollard in that same scenario over and over and over again. It just doesn't happen. It just keeps going to Dak and Lamb and Cooks and Ferguson. And you know, even Tolbert's getting involved. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at for the weekend. And again, I think Houston and Cleveland, you can make an argument for playing one of Stroud or Flacco as well. You know, Flacco's been really good, and Houston's pass D has not been. So, and Flacco's is similar to Stafford, right? The stack is easy. It's Amari and it's Njoku, and you move on. So it's I don't hate it, but it's definitely, I definitely think that game is number three on my list compared to the other two.
Yeah, so I think, you know, you talked about the Rams and Lions game, and for good reason, right? Both of these pass defenses are really bad. The Lions have allowed 289 passing yards per game, which is the most by any most of any team, as well as the seventh most passing touchdowns and the highest yards per attempt over the last six games. They've also allowed the third most PPR points position on the season. Now, you also have their Jared Goff, which, you know, on the other side where the Rams have just as bad. They've allowed the second most passing yards and the tied for the most passing touchdowns allowed at 13. And the Rams have also allowed the seventh most DK points to the position. So this is a game that both these teams should be able to throw all over each other. Like you said, I think there's good reason that this total is as high as it is. And I think you can go either side. If you want to go Stafford, I think you could also go Jared Goff. You know, I think you can do that as well. I think target share should be a little bit more consolidated, because it doesn't sound like Sam Laporta is going to play, because the Lions were stupid and decided to play all their starters last week, and now Sam Laporta is hurt. So if he's out, I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown could see a massive target share. Obviously, there's all kinds of narratives with this game, with obviously Jared Goff and, you know, and Matthew Stafford coming home back to Detroit to play in. Obviously Josh Reynolds as well, I guess, is involved in that. Jameson Williams, I think, should be okay to play in that game. So I do think there's a lot of different pieces here. If Stafford's going to be chalky, you just go to the other side and play Jared Goff. The only concern you ever have with that is that the fact that they tend to lean on their run game, especially once they get inside the goal line, where they, you know, they'll be more apt to you know, let David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs score. So maybe you could look at maybe getting, you know, your Jared Goff exposure through, or not Jared Goff, but the exposure to this, you know, the high scoring of this game through, you know, a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs, who's been phenomenal this year, is also involved in the passing game and also has opportunities down inside the goal line. But I do think both sides of these are right there in play. Stafford, over his last four games, averaging 300 passing yards, two touchdowns per game. So I think both of these guys are definitely in play. it's going to be hard to get away from that game as well, as good as it looks. I completely agree too with Dak Prescott call. Actually, the Packers have been almost as bad their last six games as well, allowing 265 passing yards per game and 11 touchdowns over their last six games. So I definitely think you could look there, or excuse me, over their last four games, excuse me. But I definitely think that the Packers as well is another team that's really started to struggle against the pass, something you kind of talked about. So we know you have the Packers, the Cowboys have no problem throwing all over teams. Yeah. It's what they've done all year. So Dak, you know, people aren't going to want to pay up for Dak and the CeeDee Lamb stack. I think that is a spot you can go to for sure. Dak at 7,600 and CeeDee Lamb at 9K. It's obviously an expensive stack, but you can cheapen it out some by fitting in one of the secondary pass catchers for the Cowboys. I think as far as like wanting to get different or contrarian at quarterback, I mean, Joe Flacco is only $6,100 and he has been phenomenal. It just a career resurgence for Joe Flacco. It's been wild to say the least to see what he's been able to do. He's averaging 340 passing yards per game, which is wild. By far the most of any quarterback. Second is only Matt Stafford right behind him, only 40 yards per game lower. But he's also, his 8.51 yard per attempt is also top seven in the league as well. He's thrown 11 passing touchdowns over that same span, which is most of any quarterback. So, I mean, he's just been balling. Now, he has had troubles at time with turnovers. He does have seven interceptions over that time. He tends to turn the ball over a little bit. But Flacco, I mean, and it's a pretty good matchup, or it's a decent matchup anyways, against the Houston Texans defense. They can be had through the air as well. This is also a game we saw a couple of weeks ago. These two teams play each other. Obviously, C.J. Stroud did not play in that game. That should be mentioned. So that was a little bit different, but they just lit them up. That was the game that Amari Cooper went absolutely nuclear for, what was it, the 250, 260 receiving yards and a couple touchdowns. So, you know, I think you could look, you definitely could look there as well as another option, like you already mentioned. You already talked about Jordan Love. Jordan Love has actually played much better recently, or not recently, pretty much this year. I mean, he's been able to get there through passing touchdowns. He has two or more passing touchdowns in four straight games. And he's done it even further back than that. He's also done it six of his last seven games. He doesn't necessarily hit the 300-yard bonus a ton. He's done it a few times this year. But Jordan Love, in a game, if they're going to have to play keep up, you could definitely look there at $6,300. I don't think he's going to carry much ownership. But, you know, you talk about Patrick Mahomes, and normally, you know, I'm probably going to play some Patrick Mahomes, but, you know, don't listen to me on that. But you're right. It's going to be really cold. I mean, just being here, that's kind of everybody's been talking about. It's supposed to be like 0 degrees at kickoff with a negative 10 to 15 degree wind chill during that game. Now, the wind isn't going to be anything crazy. It's like 10 to 15 miles an hour. But when you're talking about negative 20 degree wind chills, it's definitely going to matter quite a bit there with that game. And these two teams have already played each other once this year. They played over in Germany. It was like a 21-17 game, I believe. The Chiefs got out early and then didn't really do anything the second half. But the problems I could see here where the Chiefs could be a viable option is the Dolphins are missing a ton of their pass rushers. They lost Bradley Chubb. They had to sign Justin Houston off the street because they just don't really have anybody else that can pressure the quarterback. And if you can't get to Patrick Mahomes, that's going to be a problem. You're going to allow him to pick your defense apart. And they're also, you know, we'll have to see with like Xavier Howard. I mean, if they're just out there with Jalen Ramsey, I mean, this could be a problem for this defense. I mean, if you look last week, I know the score didn't really indicate it for the Bills, but I mean, the Bills turned the ball over three times inside the red zone. I mean, if that doesn't happen, they absolutely slaughtered the Dolphins last week in that game, you know, on that Sunday night game they played in. So that defense is extremely banged up. The Chiefs defense isn't really, they're pretty much healthy for the most part. They're going to have their entire secondary. Everybody's pretty much healthy here with this team. They pretty much were able to sit all their starters. So, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Patrick Mahomes went out and had a really big game. I mean, this is a team that obviously plays, they've played really well actually in the cold. This is not really, the cold really bothers them all that much. So, I mean, I think you could look there at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, nobody's going to play him. It is risky at $7,100, but you know, you could pair him with a Rashee Rice who's $6,600. But I also think you could just get your exposure to Patrick Mahomes through, you know, just play by playing Rashee Rice. But I also think, we'll talk about it when we get over running back, Isaiah Pacheco is an elite play too. I think he's a very good play with the guys they have out. But other than that, I think I agree. I'm pretty much going to stick to the, you know, the, this Rams game, and as well as probably have some Dak Prescott. And then I sprinkle in some Flacco or some CJ Stroud or some Patrick Mahomes, mainly Patrick Mahomes here if I'm only building, you know, three or four lineups, I'm probably not getting to Patrick Mahomes. I don't think you necessarily need to. The total kind of points to that as well. It opened up much higher. It opened up at 47.5 and it's dropped down to 43.5 points here. So I just don't think you really have to play that game. I think you can get pieces of it, but I don't think it's something you want to go on a fully game stack. So is there any other quarterback you want to talk about? We'll jump over to running back.
Yeah, we can jump.
Yeah, let's go over to running back. You have a really cheap Kyren Williams, somebody who sees, I mean, really both of these guys up top, Kyren Williams and Rashad White, are both players that see 75% or more of their opportunities for this back, their backfields. The problem is it's just not, at least on the Rashad White side, or excuse me, on the Kyren Williams side, it's not a very good matchup. The Lions have still been very good against the run. Over their last six games, they've allowed the third fewest rushing yards. They have had a little bit of trouble with touchdowns. They've allowed four rushing touchdowns. But other than that, they have one of the highest stuff rates in the league. Actually, it's the second highest, right behind the Houston Texans. That's how you beat, the Houston Texans have actually been really good against the run, as well as the Detroit Lions. Like I said, 55.5% stuff rate, as well as one of the lowest yards before contact per attempt. So they do a very good job of stopping the run. And so that's why I'm not all that excited to play Kyren Williams. I know the volume's going to be there, and maybe he can get there through touchdowns. But playing 7.3 for him, I just don't think makes a lot of sense. But other than that, you have, you know, Achane, Mostert should be back, Cook, Jahmyr Gibbs, who's only $6,500, Pacheco, Aaron Jones, David Montgomery, Tony Pollard, DeAndre Swift are kind of the 6K and above range guys this week. But what are you looking to do at running back?
Yeah, running back's kind of gross for me. I like Rashad White as my pay up if I'm paying up. I mean, we brought up Saquon last week, and Saquon smashed Philly, scored a couple touchdowns and had a couple long, you know, receptions. You know, and Rashad White is just, you know, cut from the same cloth in terms of usage. You know, he's going to get a ton of carries. He's going to have heavy pass game usage. And the Philly defense has just been miserable this entire season. And I just think Rashad White is, you know, going to get a ton of work here, especially with Baker banged up. You know, I'm expecting Philly to try to lean on the run a little more on the other side as well. So I don't think Philly's going to, you know, get out to any quick lead. Probably going to be kind of a more grinded out game. So White would definitely be my preference if paying up. Outside of that, we can't ignore the ceiling that James Cook has shown. And I know that, you know, the Leonard Fournette thing, but I mean, Latavius Murray has kind of played that role as well this year, and didn't really steal the ceiling from James Cook ever since they changed offensive coordinators, you know, midway through the year. You know, he had a career game against Dallas in week 15 in the game they won by 21 points, you know, scored 25 in a lower scoring game with Kansas City. You know, scored 19 in a 32-6 win against the Jets in week 11. So even if we project, you know, a bit of a lower scoring game or a game that Buffalo does control a little bit, you know, James Cook has explosiveness and can house one or two long plays. And Pittsburgh will be without TJ Watt as well. So that's, you know, kind of a big deal for them. You know, their splits with and without him are pretty crazy. So I think James Cook is very interesting from a ceiling perspective. I like Pacheco as well. You know, you mentioned the Dolphins being without key defensive linemen, and mentioned, you know, that's an issue with the pass rush. Well, it's also an issue with stopping the run in a game where, you know, these guys are going to have to be tackling in minus 20 degree wind chills, which I can't say that I would ever want to do. So it could just get to a point, you know, where Kansas City just wants to run the ball, especially if they're having success. You know, they've shown the tendency to lean on Pacheco when he's crushing. He had 18 carries last game and seven targets. So 25 opportunities there for him when he was smashing last game. So they definitely won't shy away from him if it's working. So $6,400 for him. I like him a lot. Again, Pollard, he's in play because it's a short slate. It's a good matchup, has touchdown equity, should be one of the higher scoring teams in the Cowboys this weekend. So Pollard is absolutely in play. Swift is in play as well. And I know I'm pretty much going through every running back here, but there's just a lot of just like average plays and not anybody that's like, you know, that I think nukes. And so, you know, you kind of mix and match these lower owned guys that are you know, projecting for more average, you know, production here. And Swift is another one of those guys. He had 130 yards against this Tampa Bay team when they played earlier this year, at the beginning of the year. And I'm expecting Philly to lean on the run a ton this week, and which could actually end up being a good thing for their offense. If they just run the ball way more than they have been, because they have not been able to move the ball through the air, whether that's a Hurts issue or a scheme issue. I think it's kind of both at the moment. And obviously Hurts has the finger issue. So I think Swift, you could see Swift get a bump in volume here and could even see some more red zone usage. If they maybe don't want to, you know, push Jalen Hurts to the, you know, do the tush push with him having injuries, but they're going to be playing to win. So I'm sure Hurts will call his own number there if they get down to the 1 yard line. Outside of that, I'm sure the after last week's performance, Najee Harris is going to get a ton of steam, and, you know, Jaylen Warren as well, because the two cheapest starting running backs on the slate, and Jaylen Warren, you know, probably projects better than Najee does from a game flow standpoint, as the Steelers should be trailing. But I mean, even if you look at game logs with Jaylen Warren, like in games that the Steelers have been blown out, like Warren doesn't smash. So it's like, I don't know. I just kind of want to stay away from the Steelers running backs, because I feel like they're going to be more popular than they should be just because they're cheap. And I know Najee Harris is going to be popular. You know, I've already seen a lot of content around him for this week. So outside of that, I mean, I went through about five or so running backs, but I mean, those are pretty much the guys, you know, that I have interest in. I mean, Singletary's another one. You know, again, touching on pretty much every running back here, but just another middle of the road guy that's going to get a lot of opportunity. Should see 3 to 5 targets and carry the ball, you know, 16 to 18 times against Cleveland. So, yeah, that's where I stand.
Shout out to Perry here. So this is a guy that's in our season long stuff that is basically his league. His commissioner basically colluded with another guy. A guy was in last place, and it was a really, really lopsided, really bad trade, and nobody seemed to have a problem with it, even though it was clear collusion. Anyways, he ended up taking down the league, so he was America's team. We were rooting for him to
let's go
take it down. He ended up winning the whole thing and beat the guy who made the trade for the
karma. That's karma.
So just wanted to shout him out. We were following him for like the last month and a half of the season.
That's awesome.
Every week he was coming in giving us updates. So happy to hear you won the championship there. So. I think for me, when it comes to running backs this week, I think Aaron Jones is an elite play. He looks like he's back to his old self. He's rushed for 100 yards or more in 3 straight games. And this is actually a game where I think when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they have really been bad against the run. I mean, and I think the biggest problem here is it's been kind of a fraud, because in some of the numbers you would look at and look like they're actually good against the run. And I don't think that was the problem. I think the problem is they had so many positive game scripts, the team just couldn't really establish the run against them and do anything there. But the Cowboys, over their last 4 games, they've allowed 147 rushing yards per game, which is the 4th most in the league. They've also allowed a touchdown per game as well. Their stuff rate is one of the lowest in the league at 37%, which is 31st. Only they're just below or just ahead of the Arizona Cardinals there. So this is a defense that can definitely be had on the ground. A.J. Dillon sounds like he's not going to play. And so Aaron Jones obviously can be involved in the passing game. He saw 5 targets last week against Chicago there. But he's seeing, I mean, really strong usage numbers. 21 carries, 20 carries, and 22 carries each of his last 3 games. Like I said, he is somebody that can be utilized in the passing game as well. He scored 17, 17, and 22 DK points. And that's without scoring a touchdown. I think if he could find the end zone, then he could really pay off at $6,300 price tag. So, and I don't think a lot of people are going to play him because they view Dallas Cowboys as a scary defense against the run, and they just haven't been. They've been kind of a fraud in that department. So I think Aaron Jones is a very sneaky play, and one that I think I'll have quite a bit of. If you're wanting to, I think as far as paying down is concerned, I mean, that's kind of on the lower spectrum compared to some of these other guys. But, you know, I think also Isaiah Pacheco is another player who I think is in a really good spot. Like you already talked about, but games without McKinnon, he's handling 77% of the total opportunities, and he's seeing over 5 targets per game. And so, you know, we know McKinnon's he's also still on IR. Actually, they said he's probably done for the rest of the year because he had to have core muscle surgery. And so he's not going to be back. And I would expect for him to see as many touches as he can handle, seeing probably 75, 80% of the touches from this backfield. So Isaiah Pacheco is an excellent play at $6,400. He's going to be involved in the passing game as well. Probably sees five or six targets. So really like Isaiah Pacheco here. In terms of the pair up, the more of the pay up options, I think Devon Achane is always in play. He's kind of been back to being a little bit more explosive recently. Seeing him back here, and seems like he's got over the injuries he was suffering. Game against the Bills. So even if they fall behind, I think he's still going to be utilized. But $6,800, I'm not going to play Kyren Williams, and I'm not going to play Rashad White either. I know that Philadelphia hasn't been very good against the run. I know they've actually really struggled against the run. They have been right there, just below the Dallas Cowboys, actually at 141.3 yards per game, and they're four touchdowns allowed, a touchdown per game, and then the stuff rate is right there. I mean, they're very similar in almost every single category. As how bad they both bet against the run. But Rashad White, I think if he's going to beat me, he's going to have to see a ton of targets, which is definitely possible. I mean, he's obviously been probably one of the more safer options this year. It's pretty much, upper double-digit scoring every single week for him. But I just also don't think he really has much of a ceiling. He's $6,900. He's the second most expensive running back on the slate. And I think there's running backs that can produce a little bit more than him. I don't mind Rashad White. I guess he's not, I don't want to say he's a terrible play. He's definitely a much better play than Kyren Williams. I already talked about Kyren Williams. It's not a good matchup against Detroit. But Rashad White is in a better spot. But I don't know. Like, it's crazy that he is second in the league in total carries this year. But he has less than he didn't even get 1,000 rushing yards. It's absolutely wild to me that he had, I think it was like 260 carries and didn't even crack 1,000 yards this year rushing. That's how inefficient he's been as a runner. He's gotten there through the air with 500 receiving yards for him. But I already talked about also Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs is always in play. He may not see a ton of carries, but he's basically a guy that's going to get 12 to 14 carries. But he also has a 5, 6, 7 target ceiling as well. If he can get there, also finding the end zone. So he has scored a touchdown. He's been on a heater there as well. So Jahmyr Gibbs at $6,500, I think you could look there as well. But as far as the cheaper options, I'm not in love with – I really don't like DeAndre Swift because he pretty much gets cucked every single week by Jalen Hurts. They get down inside the goal line. It's like, well, bring on Jalen. He's going to rush it in. So DeAndre Swift and the Bucs have actually been pretty good. The last four games, they've allowed – only 75.3 rushing yards per game. It's the second lowest rate in the league, just behind the Houston Texans. So, and speaking of the Houston Texans, I will not be playing any of the Cleveland Brown running backs. I know Jerome Ford is $5,500. He is on the cheaper side, but I just don't think you need to go there. I know you also talked about the Pittsburgh side. Najee Harris is actually somebody that I've been on the last couple of weeks. I played quite a bit of Najee Harris the last 2 weeks. He's played pretty well. 27 and 27 DK points, respectively, each of the last two games. But I don't know if you necessarily need to get there. And this feels much more like a game they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more than they are going to be able to run the ball and control the clock. Because, this game on the road for them against Buffalo, I just don't really love that game. Now, I will say that is another cold weather game. It's going to be, but this will be in the 20s with, 15-mile-an-hour winds with gusts up to 30. But it's not nearly going to be nearly as cold as the Kansas City game. But there's really no other like cheap running backs that I want to play. I think for me, I'm going to be pretty consolidated here. I'm going to play Aaron Jones. I'm going to play Isaiah Pacheco. And I'll sprinkle in some Jahmyr Gibbs and Devon Achane, maybe some Rashad White. I think that's where I'm going to come in. I don't think it really needs to get much cuter than that. Because there's not anybody else that really intrigues me. I guess also you can say the same thing about David Montgomery just because he could find the end zone a couple times. So that's really how he's gotten there. But anyways, let's go ahead and jump over to wide receivers. I think this is really where there's a lot of different options here. I think you have CeeDee Lamb at 9K, Tyreek at 8,700, and then AJ Brown, who sounds like he has a shot at playing this week. I know he left with an injury, but he has not practiced yet this week. If he doesn't play, that's going to be a big blow to that offense, obviously. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, Puka Nacua, Nico Collins, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Devonta Smith, Rashee Rice, Jalen Waddle, who sounds like he should be good to go, Chris Godwin, are all the 6K and above wide receivers. So what are you looking to do at wide receiver?
Yeah, I'm not getting cute at wide receiver. Wide receiver is going to be pretty straightforward for me this week. I'm playing one of Lamb or Amon-Ra. I don't know that you can fit both. If you can, Godspeed on the value plays that you're playing, but definitely would fit one of them in. They're the top two overall plays on the slate, in my opinion. And then you've got, we already talked about the Rams and how good of a spot they're in on the other side of that Detroit game. One of Cupper or Puka is who I would pair with Lamb or Amon-Ra, because they're a little bit cheaper. So those are going to be my four priorities up top, as you can't play all these guys. And if you were stacking Cleveland, Houston, you obviously have to play Amari. He's definitely a good play against the Houston defense that he shredded already for 265 yards the last time these two teams played, and he scored 54 DK points. I'm not expecting that to happen again, but he can still absolutely have a ceiling game here. Outside of that, I mean, moving down the list, gets kind of bare pretty quickly, and I kind of just want to get down to the values, and it's like DeMarcus Robinson is I think by far the best value on the slate. I think he's a lock personally. 3,600 against this Detroit team. Ignore the zero targets in week 18. That was a game with the backups that, you know, none of the starters really played except Puka got his rookie records. So you go back to week 17, he had 10 targets. Week 16, he had 6 targets. Week 14, he had 10 targets. Double digit points in 5 straight games. 3,600 against Detroit. He just has a locked in wide receiver 3 role that we've seen over the last couple seasons that receivers have been able to hold value with for the Rams. So I just think he's a lock. I think 3,600 is way too cheap, and I would not make a team without him, because barring injury, he should be in the optimal lineup. And if Jameson Williams were to sit out again, which has he been practicing? Let's see. Where is he? Does he even have a Q tag?
He's practicing full.
Okay, yeah, he's in full. He doesn't even have a Q tag. Okay, because he missed week 18 with an injury. So, I mean, he himself is interesting. 3,500 on the other side of that game. He's going to get a couple targets. He obviously has game-breaking speed. I was going to say, if he was out, you would want to play, you know, one of Josh Reynolds or Khalif Raymond. But looks like he's going to play, so he's another good value. And, I mean, all these, you know, both of those guys have similar outlooks to the guys that are in the, you know, the 5K, 5,500 range. I mean, like Brandon Cooks, like he can get you 15 on a good game, but so can DeMarcus Robinson and Jameson Williams for, you know, 2K less. So I'm pretty much going to live in the top tier of receivers and then mixing in, you know, these value guys as well.
Yeah. So I think, so one, the debate between the high price wide receivers of CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, I'm not playing Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs have just been phenomenal against number one wide receivers. I mean, Legarius Sneed has. I mean, he has shut down literally everybody that's come. Every number one wide receiver has been shut, including Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill did nothing against the Chiefs when they played him in Germany. He has shut down A.J. Brown. He has shut down Davante Adams. I mean, Justin Jefferson. I mean, he has shut down every single wide receiver that he has went up against this year. So I have no interest in paying up for $8,700. Tyreek Hill here in this spot. Also, what really worries me about Tua is just he's really bad against pressure, kind of like Brock Purdy. And I expect this Chiefs defense to be coming after him all game. And so that also is an issue for me as well in terms of just wanting to get any exposure to that passing game for Miami. I think CeeDee Lamb is obviously the easy play. CeeDee Lamb has been an absolute monster this entire year. I mean, the dude has seen 30 targets his last two games. So that's fun. And you have to go back to week 12, the last time he didn't see at least 10 targets. So he is just the guy who sees all their, you know, just incredible amount of work. I mean, it's really hard to get away from him. I don't know what they'll do with Jair Alexander, if they will try to shadow him with him, but I don't know if it matters at this point, to be honest with you. But as far as that's concerned, I completely agree. I think when you look at least just kind of looking at some baseline numbers, Cooper Kupp actually profiles a little bit better in this spot than Puka Nacua does. It's something to keep in your back of your mind. It's not an end-all, be-all, but they do play the Lions play cover 3 at 43% at a 43% rate, and it looks like you see Cooper Kupp actually leads this team with a 0.62 fantasy points per route run compared to Puka Nacua, who is below him at 0.48, which it's not a huge difference, but I will say.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Their target shares are pretty similar there where you as well. So I think that is something you look at here at Cooper Kupp. I think most people are going to want to go to Puka Nacua rather than going to Cooper Kupp, because while he's had some ceiling games this year, they've been few and far between, where Puka Nacua has just been a little bit more safer. But I do think it's at $7,500. He does profile a little bit better against cover three that the Lions run 43% of the time. Next closest is they run a cover four at 22% there, and they're pretty split, pretty even on that one. So there's not really a big difference on that. But I think you look there for sure. We already talked about Rashee Rice. I mean, he's the clear leader in this with this Chiefs wide receiver room. He has really started to separate himself in terms of his usage, and he's really become the Chiefs' number one option. I mean, even over Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce tends to draw so much coverage that Rashee Rice at $6,600, he should be far more expensive than that, in my opinion. In terms of Jaden Reed, I think Jaden Reed is also a really good play this week. And he's not, it's not even that. They've also, you know, been utilized him some as a runner. I don't know if they'll do that. They've kind of went away from that a little bit because he's been dealing with some injuries with his chest injury, but he's been getting in full practice. So I think he should be fine. But Jaden Reed at $5,700 is criminal. I mean, he's been an absolute baller recently. Last week he scored 18.2. I mean, really the last four games, 18.2, 26.9, 17.2, and 20.5. And that 26.9 score, he did that in a half. He got knocked out the second half. They were up pretty big, so they didn't really have to really play him. But he did set out the second half of that game. But he should be way more expensive than this, in my mind. I mean, I feel like he should be, you know, in the upper 6K range, or at least in the mid 6K range. But $5,700 makes him entirely too cheap. I really don't know. Christopher Watson did get into limited practice. We'll have to see if he's able to make it back. But I really don't care. I just think Jaden Reed is the number one wide receiver on this team. And at $5,700, he's just too cheap. If you're wanting to get a little bit different, you know, like, you know, Brandon Cooks definitely is in play. He seems to be a touchdown or bust type of player. But, you know, he has seen 16 targets those last two games. He's scored 15 or more DK points over that span as well, and scored a touchdown in three straight games. So Brandon Cooks, $4,900, I think is a spot you could look at. Jalen Waddle should be back for this game. He's $6,500. It's a little bit too cheap. It could be a really good spot here for Devonta Smith. Obviously, we've wanted to attack this Buccaneers pest secondary all season. And with A.J. Brown dealing with this injury, if A.J. Brown wouldn't go, I mean, it'd be really, really hard to get away from Devonta Smith at $6,700 here against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here in this spot. I mean, the Buccaneers secondary has been dreadful for most of the year. So if we get news that A.J. Brown isn't going to play because he was a non-participant today, obviously he does have the extra day to get healthy. It's very possible they're just holding him out and he could still play on Monday, but I would be hesitant with wanting to fire him up dealing with that injury. I mean, it looked pretty serious. Like, I guess it wasn't as bad as what it looked, because he looked like he was going to be out for quite some time. But Devonta Smith at $6,700, we know he can absolutely cook. And if you're missing him, I think then he obviously becomes a very logical choice at $6,700. Other than that, I'm not really all that excited to play Nico Collins. The Cleveland defense has been phenomenal this year. They play a ton of man coverage. So I'm just not all that excited. I know Nico Collins has been an absolute monster, especially the last game he played where he put up 37.5 points here. But I'm not that excited about it. He did play week 16 against Cleveland, but it was very sparingly. He didn't really run his normal amount of routes. It wasn't with C.J. Stroud, but he did see 6 targets, 4 catches, 18 yards, and a touchdown in that game, which came in pretty much garbage time there at the very end of that game. But I'm not really looking to play somebody like that. What is your thoughts, though, on Stephon Diggs, especially with looks the possibility of Gabe Davis not being available? Gabe Davis hasn't practiced. He left that Sunday night game against the Dolphins with I think it's a PCL injury. So you'd be looking at no Gabe Davis here. Would that entice you to play Stephon Diggs at all? I know Stephon Diggs has been pretty fucking bad for the most part. Really, to find a ceiling game for him, you kind of have to go all the way back to, like, I mean, really, I guess what you want to consider a ceiling. But, you know, back to, he did score 22, when was that? Week 9 against Cincinnati. And then, you know, he had that really started the year really hot. But, I mean, he's a player we know can score 30-plus DK points, no problem. But he's $7,400. If Gabe Davis, would you have any interest in him?
No, if Gabe Davis were to be out, I'd rather just play one of Shakir or Kincaid, because those two guys got the boost when Davis got hurt and missed the rest of the game against the Dolphins last week. And Shakir is obviously a cheap option. I just think the Rams guys and Amon-Ra and CeeDee Lamb are better plays than Diggs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense, especially where is Shakir at? I didn't even look to see where he was at. I think he's way down here. $3,400.
Yeah, it's $3,400.
Yeah, I mean, he becomes pretty easy to play there.
Yeah, you can play, if Gabe Davis were to be out, you could play Shakir and DeMarcus Robinson and pay up for everybody.
Yeah, they're by far the probably the easiest players to get to there.
Yep.
If that's the case, so. Yeah, so, I mean, other than that, I don't really have anything else to really talk about. I kind of agree with most stuff you said, and I think there's a couple other plays here. Obviously, I guess we didn't talk about Amari Cooper. I guess how do you not talk about him, considering the last time these two teams faced each other, he went absolutely nuclear with 54.5 DK points. Would you have any interest in playing him at 6,800?
Yeah, you have to have interest. He definitely fits the more balanced build more than anything. I think if you were going to play, you know, not play CeeDee Lamb, then you start to get into the Amari Cooper style build. Because again, I just think Detroit Rams, you're going to need some of those pieces. Lamb is tougher because he's so high priced. But if you were to not play Lamb, I think that's when you open up the Amari build. I mean, we've seen an Amari ceiling with Flacco especially. So, I mean, it's definitely there.
What does CeeDee Lamb have to score for him to be for him to pay off, I guess? Not necessarily kill you. Obviously, we know he can do that. But, I mean, if he scores 25, you know, is that a got to have it, you know, price? I guess on a six-game slate, I guess, I mean, it really could be.
No, I would say so. I would say anything over 30.
Yeah, which
I don't think there's going to be I don't think there's going to be many 30-point scorers. And so raw points obviously matters, and salary kind of goes out the window once you get up to that high of point totals. Yeah, I think he needs, which he, I mean, he's scored 40, I think, three times at home this year. So it is 100% in the realm of outcomes that he just breaks the slate. We're not talking about a guy that's, you know, scored, you know, 35 DK points once in like two seasons. Like this year, you know, he has scored 30 regularly and has scored 43 times at home, and they're at home. So, yeah, I think you need 30 plus from him, but I do think it's likely that he gets there.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and move over to tight ends. I mean, David Njoku feels like a pretty easy play. $600.
It's him.
Joe Flacco absolutely locks on to tight ends. He's done that for most of his career. With Joe Flacco, he has just been an absolute menace, dropping 27, 29.4, 16.4. And 21.4, seeing 8, 14, 9, and 8 targets. I mean, $5,600 feels a little bit too cheap. It feels like he should be the highest priced tight end on the slate. Obviously, Travis Kelce is that, but Travis Kelce, $6,100. I mean, it could be useful that they let him sit last week, or he actually chose to sit last week. They left it up to him. He decided to sit, didn't chase the record of 1,000 receiving yards. But look, I don't think Sam LaPorta is going to be able to play. I think their best hope is they can win this game and maybe they can get him back. It's usually a bone bruise hyperextension, I think, if I remember, because everything that was talked about with Travis Kelce, he did it earlier in the year. I think it's definitely possible he probably misses this game and then he's back. He very well could be back the next week if they're able to get past the Rams here. So with that being said, I mean, Obviously, we still have guys like Dallas Goedert, especially if A.J. Brown is out. I mean, he could be a big focal point at $4,800. The Buccaneers haven't been great against tight ends. I wish Sam LaPorta was playing because he would be an easy smash spot because the Rams have been dreadful against tight ends all year. But that just doesn't look like it's going to be the case. And then, you know, with Dalton Kincaid, I think it's tough with him because he's a little bit hit or miss. Now, he has seen almost 15 targets the last two games. So he has started to wake back up because once Dawson Knox came back, they started to like split touches and split targets. And it started to get a little frustrating. Now, recently he has been utilized a little bit more. I think if you're going to pay down at tight end, I think you have to look at probably Patty Fry as the guy you'd maybe look at $3,600 if you wanted to pay down there. But is you just lock buttoning David Njoku in? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, it's Njoku and it's Ferguson for me. Those are the two guys. And Kincaid if Davis were to be out.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's really hard to get away from that. I will say the Bucks have allowed the third most DK points to tight ends this year. They are allowing 61.6 receiving yards per game and nearly a half touchdown per game to tight ends, followed by the Rams and the Texans and Dolphins are all in terms of the playoff teams. In terms of all these guys, are all these teams ranked or we're inside the top five of DK points allowed to tight ends. So I do think Travis Kelce could be an interesting spot here, especially for a team that's missing so many pieces on their defense. I mean, this could be a vintage Travis Kelce smash spot where nobody's going to play him because he's been pretty dreadful. I mean, you have to go back to week 7, the last time he had a true, true ceiling game where he scored 38.9 in that game, 12 catches, 179 yards and a touchdown. He just hasn't been scoring touchdowns this year. I mean, he hasn't scored one since week 11 against Philadelphia, but I mean, he is somebody that could break the slate, and I will be interested to see what his ownership comes in at because I think there's a fair argument between him and David Njoku. Obviously, Njoku, I think, profiles a little bit better here, but Travis Kelce, coming off a week of rest, I think could end up being somebody that we look back upon, like kicking ourselves that we didn't play him because I do think that he could smash in the spot. And he's also, I mean, he's significantly cheaper than what he's pretty much been all year. This is actually $6,100. I mean, he's been 7K and above every single game this season. He has some games where he's even been in the 8K range. So this is an extreme discount for Travis Kelce.
Yeah, he's just not the same player that we're used to this year, I think. And I'm just going to play Njoku or Ferguson or Kincaid. Those are going to be the three that I lock on. I would like to play Goddard if AJ Brown were to be out. I just don't trust the Jalen Hurts situation. I think they're going to run the ball 50 times, is what I think.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So I think that's where I'm going to come in at. Like I said, I'm definitely going to have some Njoku, some Goddard, and some Travis Kelce, and then mix in a little bit depending on how many teams I run. Maybe mix in a little bit there. Other than that, I'm not going to get cute and play like a Kate Otten or anything like that. I mean, maybe you could have made an argument for Tucker Kraft. Had Luke Musgrave, you know, looks like he is going could possibly be back. We'll have to see. You know, he did get in a little bit of action there week 18, so I don't know what's going to happen there, but that kind of puts me off of him. And so, yeah, I think that's probably where I'm going to commit at. So let's move over to defense. Is there anything that stands out to you on the defensive side of the ball? I do think you could possibly play the Steelers. I know mainly because, you know, Josh Allen just has this affinity to turn the ball over. I mean, some of the mistakes he was making in that Sunday night game, I don't even know what he was doing. It was the one throw they threw in the end zone that he wasn't even looking at Gabe Davis. And Gabe Davis had clearly broken off his route, and he just threw the ball straight to the Dolphins. So, I mean, he's somebody that could definitely turn the ball over a couple of times. And, you know, maybe they find their way into the end zone for a score. You know, he's on the, and they're $2,600.
I like the Chiefs. I'm surprised you didn't mention them. $2,900 at home in a freezing cold game against the Dolphins. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, and especially a Dolphins offensive line that is terrible. So, yes. Yeah. I mean, $2,900. I don't really understand why they're only $2,900. I guess it's because it's the Dolphins. So, no, I have no problem playing the Chiefs. They're what, the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth cheapest defense this week, $2,900. So, yeah. Just didn't want to, you know, sound like a homer. So, I figured I'd let you
You just talked to Travis Kelce, though.
Well, you know, I had to get in a little bit of take there. Josh, Texans versus Flacco, turnover. Yeah, I mean, Flacco has 7 turnovers, like I said, over his last 4 games, or 7 interceptions, excuse me, over his last 4 games. I mean, they are certainly, you know, a team. And, I mean, the Texans defense has been decent this year, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, there's definitely been spots that I've definitely wanted to fire them up, and they've been in pretty good play. So, they've been getting a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. Will Anderson has been a baller this year. They've gotten back, I think, Derek Stingley, they got him back recently, so... I mean, the Texans are a team that you could look at, especially with Joe Flacco. Because, I mean, eventually this magic has to end for Joe Flacco, right? I mean,
you would think.
It's been insane, this heater this dude has been on since coming back. Like, there's not a person in the world that was expecting him to do anything of what he's done. And it's been pretty cool. I mean, it's been pretty incredible to watch, so.
Yeah, you would think it's going to end. But, I mean, it's what, 5 games in a row now? It's like, okay, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? And it just keeps going.
Yeah, you're not lying. I've I keep thinking, yeah, I'm not playing. I mean, the first like 2 or 3 weeks of it, the first week,
Debro was saying I'm playing Joe Flacco at min price, and I'm like, Debro, you need to check into a mental institution, and you know, go figure, right? Debro owned us all.
He did for once in his life, but yeah, I mean, yes, I mean he's been incredible. He has turned the ball over quite a bit, though. I mean, that has definitely been a problem for him. So I definitely think the Texans is a spot you could look to attack there as well. And I don't think anybody's going to play the Texans. So I feel like, yeah. Who do you think is going to be the most the chalkiest defense? Maybe the Bills, maybe the Browns. Oh, I don't know about the Browns against Houston.
Honestly, I'd probably say the Chiefs, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're the cheapest home team.
I just figured when you look at the Steelers, they have the lowest, yes, by far the lowest implied point total. They have a 13 implied point total here. So, you know, Mason Rudolph, Bills defense has been playing much better. So,
yeah. Bills will be popular for sure. I just don't know if they'll be the most, considering they're 3,500 and the Chiefs are 2,900 in that freezing cold game. I think with the weather, I think everybody's going to flock to the Chiefs, which is fine. Like, I think they're the best defensive play. But
all right. Well, that being said, I think it's time to
let's build
a lineup here. So why don't you kick it off?
Stafford.
All right, that wasn't hard. I'm going to go Cooper Kupp here.
Let's double it with DeMarcus.
I'm going to lock in Pacheco at running back.
Let's run it back with Amon-Ra, obviously.
All right. And then I will, with a little correlation here with Pacheco, I'm going to play the Chiefs defense at $2,900.
Okay.
So that leaves $5,000 per position with running back, tight end, and a flex.
Let's go Pollard. We need Cowboys exposure.
All right. I was going to say Goddard, but actually, you know what? I'm going to plug in Goddard. I think I like the matchup here. Banged up A.J. Brown. That leaves $4,200 for a flex.
That would be Elijah Moore. Well, it's not going to be a running back, so let me just filter receiver. $4,200. Yeah, it would be Elijah Moore. I mean, I'm fine with that. He scored 17 against the Jets in week 17.
Yeah, but I think that was with Amari Cooper out, wasn't it? Yeah, that was Amari Cooper didn't play.
That was the Amari Cooper game that he missed. I mean, he's the only reasonable option in that 4K range, unless you go double tight end.
Could I interest you in not playing Tony Pollard and playing Aaron Jones from that same game, but then playing? So if we did that, we played Aaron Jones and then played Brandon Cooks in the flex at $4,900, and then that would leave at tight end $3,900, which we could play Patty Fry if we wanted to do that.
Go for it. I prefer that path as opposed to the other.
Because like you said, like you mentioned with Tony Pollard, I just don't love Tony Pollard. Like I'm done chasing that dude.
Yeah, I just think you need Cowboys exposure. So if you're not playing Dak and you're not playing Lamb, I just think either Pollard or Cooks or Ferguson is the play.
For sure. Like I definitely want action on that game. I like that game environment. But
yeah,
I don't love playing Tony Pollard, and
I don't either.
I think he was chalk last week, and I mean, he scored 16.6, which for him, I mean, is a high point.
Yeah.
So it's just been frustrating with him this year. And I don't know if I think some of the injury has something to do with it that he dealt with, probably zapped some of his explosiveness and stuff like that. But he just hasn't. And some of it's also how they've utilized him as well has been frustrating too. But I would much rather play Aaron Jones and then play Brandon Cook. So the team looks like Matthew Stafford, Pacheco, Aaron Jones, Cooper Kupp, DeMarcus Robinson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Patty Fry, Brandon Cooks, and Chiefs defense, leaving $300 on the table. So I really actually like this team.
Yeah, it's not a bad team at all.
No, get action on that Rams-Detroit game, which I hope is fireworks. I think it could be with these teams.
Yeah, I think that's the game to have. I just think I just don't see how Stafford doesn't just nuke them.
Yeah, and just hope that, you know, the Eagles offense doesn't all of a sudden decide to wake up and Monday Night Football and hammer us there. So yeah, let's lock that team in. I like that team. I think this is gonna be, like I said, I think that we've got, I think with all the games we have this weekend, there's not like a whole lot of like really gross spots. I know there's some, you know, the cold weather stuff, but other than that, I think for the most part, we got pretty lucky with the way the schedule turned out.
Yeah. No, I agree. Should be some close games.
I think there's a lot of fun games to watch. Like, I am looking forward to watching the you know, the Matt Stafford Bowl, going back to Detroit. Detroit getting a playoff game for the home playoff game for the first time in 30 years, which seems absolutely wild with as much parity there is in the NFL these days that they haven't had a home playoff game in 30 years. That's fucking wild. 1993.
Jeez.
Were you alive then?
Yes, I was.
How old were you?
2.
Yeah. I was 6. So, yeah. I mean, it's been forever for them. So
it's been a while. And Stafford is just going to end their lives, in their dreams.
Wouldn't that be? That would be.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they could be the 2 seed if they would have actually, you know, beaten the Cowboys like they should have. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. So, but other than that, how do you feel about your Cowboys? You think they're going to go on a run?
I think they'll beat Green Bay. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think they'll beat them. Then I think Tampa Bay beats Philly. And so then that would leave. And I think the Rams beat Detroit. So then that leaves the Rams traveling to San Fran and Tampa Bay going to Dallas. I think Dallas beats Tampa. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams beat San Fran.
You're just hoping for the best possible scenario for
them. Either way, the Rams. Well, it would be sick if the Rams beat San Fran, because then the Rams would travel to Dallas. And I think Dallas would win that game, but obviously there's concerns for Dallas if they have to travel to San Francisco again. But they've done it once this year and they got smoked. And I mean, what's the worst thing that happens is it happens again, right? Like. What are they like? I don't know. That's the monkey on their back is San Francisco, because San Francisco has like knocked them out of the playoffs almost every year. So, because last year it was the Dak run with 14 seconds left, the run and slide. Or no, that was 2 years ago. Last year was the Zeke playing center and got just absolutely smothered.
I will say I'm looking forward to watching CJ Stroud play. He's been incredible this year, and I would love to see the Ravens take on the Texans next week. You know, if everything shakes out that way, so I think that game, it looks like, yeah, a lot of fun. There's really not a game that I'm not really excited to really watch. I mean, even the Bills. Like, I think it's possible the Steelers could knock off the Bills, and I know it seems crazy, but the Bills have just like squeezed by the skin of their teeth in so many of these games this year. And Josh Allen continues to just really make really, really bad decisions. And, you know, we've seen
this. He does, but, man, they keep moving the ball.
It's probably not possible. Like, I'm not saying I'm calling it that I think the Steelers are going to win. I think it's pretty likely the Bills win that game. But I don't know. Like, the Steelers.
I think Buffalo is the most dangerous team in the NFL right now. They're 5-1 against teams in the playoffs over the course of the year. They have, like, a top three offensive team in whatever metric, however you slice it. And if you watch the Bills, like, Josh Allen's turnovers come in like the red zone, or, you know, chucking deep to the end zone. Like, they're moving the ball consistently over. Like, they're not like, they're rare. They don't just settle for punts. And I mean, they're just going to live and die by Josh Allen being aggressive, which, I mean, he's got a strong enough arm to do it and has obviously shown he can do it, but, it's just going to be I think that's why the games have been close, is because of the turnovers. Because it's like the game against Miami, they were by far the better team in that game, and that game should not have been that close. Because they kept moving the ball over and over and over again, and then it was just like turnover, turnover, turnover.
I mean, they have the largest spread on the weekend. I mean, they're 10-point favorites, 10-point home favorites. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're probably going to see Chiefs and Bills, Pat Mahomes' first road playoff game next week. That'll be a lot of fun. That game's always, you know, instant classic. So we'll see what happens. But
that would be sweet.
Yeah, Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl. Just gonna throw it out there. So
it wouldn't shock me, but it's not on my bingo card.
Yeah, I think the funny part is a lot of people have made a lot about the Chiefs, like their pass. Like, don't get me wrong, their wide receivers have not been very good this year, but like, they won the Super Bowl last year with the same exact group. Like it's, they added Rashee Rice for Juju Smith-Schuster. Other than that, it's the exact same fucking group. Like,
everybody, yeah, I mean, it's a lesser version of Kelce, but Rice is better than the receivers they had last year.
Yeah.
And it's still Patrick Mahomes. Like, I mean, they absolutely can make a run. It's all about getting hot at the right time. I mean, how many times have we seen six seeds go to the NFC Championship or AFC Championship, you know? Like, just the wild card team just gets hot at the right time.
And what worries me about, like, even for the 49ers and Ravens is this long layoff. Like, we see it so much for these teams come out and they're super flat. Like, they kind of lose all that momentum. So, Chiefs got the Swifty jinx. Yeah, maybe.
Could be.
Maybe she's taking down the entire dynasty here that the Chiefs had going. So maybe that is the case. Taylor Swift has taken it all down. I don't know. I don't know. I also think the Chiefs have gotten to the point where they just kind of on cruise control just to get to the playoffs. They've kind of gotten to that point where none of the games they really seem all that excited about. There's no dire need for them. And then they just kind of seem to turn it on once the playoffs start. So I would never rule out Pat. Do I think they're going to? No, I think it's more possible they probably lose after this week. And I think they should be able to get by the Dolphins. And I think they probably lose the Bills. It's probably the Bills have to win one, right? They eventually have to get,
yeah.
get on.
Yeah.
The Chiefs have put a dagger in their hearts enough times. And but I think that's probably how it plays out. What are your Super Bowl predictions? Are you think it's going to the Super Bowl?
I'll say, man, the Ravens are pretty good. And the Ravens have smoked some good teams too. Like, have put it to them. Like, that romping of Detroit was just an absolute beatdown from start to finish.
Or the 49ers.
And the 49ers. Like, yeah, it's, I'll say Baltimore, Dallas. Fuck it. YOLO. If it's not Dallas, I'll say the Rams. Ooh, the Rams. Would be my number two. Yeah.
I'm going to go Browns, Detroit. No, that's not happening. I think I'm not going to juke myself. So I'm going to not be a homer. And I'm going to go Bills 49ers. I think.
I like the Bills call. Yeah.
I'm really nervous about them coming off that. And also, I mean, Lamar Jackson has to get some of these demons off. So, like, he has not played well in the playoffs. Now, this team's different than it was years past because they're a team that used to be, if you fell behind, they fell behind. They really weren't going to be able to come back because they couldn't throw the ball. I think some of that's changed a little bit. But a little bit, with how well this passing offense has been, it's been a lot better than what it's been in years past. So I think that could help them, and their defense is still really, really good. And so it wouldn't shock me at all if three of us make the Super Bowl. Like, they have the talent. They have the team to be able to do it. But it also sort of does feel like the Bills maybe are that team of, like, you know, they finally get it done. They finally, you know, get over the hump a little bit. Now, you know, once they make it there, who knows what can happen from there. But I do think the 49ers team is just – they're so good. Their offense is so incredible. Really, as long as – if they can keep them upright and not have a ton of pressure on Brock Purdy, I think that it's going to be tough for anybody to get past them.
Yeah, I think if the Rams beat Detroit and then – the Rams go travel, like, they play them twice a year. It's now division game number three this year. You know, I think if there was a team that could beat them, I think the Rams make. They play against each other so much. It'll be game number three. I don't know. I just feel like if a team's gonna get it done, it'd be the Rams.
Yeah. So I don't know. It should be fun to watch. I think there's a lot of storylines here through this, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, if the Chiefs don't, I mean, they've won enough, and they'll be back there again next year. So if it doesn't happen, but you know,
I would like to see an off the wall kind of matchup that we haven't seen yet. Like, I don't really want a rematch of Ravens Niners. You know, like when we had Bengals Rams, like, that was such a lit Super Bowl. because, you know, those two teams never play each other, and, you know, you get matchups that
so like Lions or Packers against the,
yeah, like give me like Lions or Packers or Rams, or even like give me like Cowboys. Like, I know the Cowboys played the Bills already this year, but like, you know, Cowboys Chiefs would be a fun one. You know, they never play each other. Yeah, anybody with the Lions, like, just give me away from like San Francisco versus Baltimore, or, you know,
the chalk.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I would totally be fine if Cleveland made the Super Bowl, you know? Like, that would be such a storyline.
If the Browns made it to the Super Bowl, I will be rooting for the Browns. I don't care, like, at all.
Well, that would mean Flacco would have pulled the Stafford and gone into Baltimore and beat the Ravens.
Yeah, and I would love it. Like, the Browns, like, it's tough. It's got to be tough being a Browns fan, or a Lions fan, for that matter. I mean, to have to deal with that, just how bad those franchises have been for so long. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's one spot that I would love to. Yeah, I think both, either one of them, either whether it was the Lions or the Browns, I would definitely be rooting for them.
I've got a buddy that's got a he's just got a small ticket, betting ticket, pick the exact matchup, and it's like a plus 55,000 Browns versus Rams Super Bowl.
Oh, now you get gets a little more real since they're both in it.
Yeah. I think he placed it a couple of weeks ago, but he said Stafford was going to end Detroit and Flacco was going to roll through Baltimore.
We'll see. Anyways. These are the best two weekends, the wild card division round, at least for NFL DFS purposes, it is. Because, I mean, championship game's fine. I mean, but it's only a two gamer, so it's not as, you know, it's not as fun. And then Showdown Super Bowl is just madness because they're monster contest of like 500,000 people in a showdown slate where 400 people, you know, dupe and chop it up and just, you know, whatever. So anyways, let's just enjoy it that we have football for the next month and a half. So left until it's over for, you know, 7 or 8 months.
Yep.
So anyways, all right, let's go ahead and get out of here. We've rambled long enough. Appreciate everybody. We will be back again next week for the division round. Maybe I'm going to slide into D-Bro's DMs and see if I can get him to come on for next week's show.
There you go.
Division round. I have to get him on for one more time before the season ends. So, anyways, hope everybody has a good weekend. I hope everybody enjoys some football, a nice long weekend of football. And if whatever your team is in it, hopefully they win, unless it's the Dolphins, and then go fuck themselves. Other than that, I don't really care. So, everybody have a good weekend. Stay safe. And we'll be back again next week for the divisional round breakdown. Bye. You can tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. But you better get used to the way the war battles. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah. That's a break, little man. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. But that's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones
who get it done.